friends, it's Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Orange County, California. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. I am good.
I always have to make sure that I'm sitting up straight. I don't want people to go, why do you keep slouching? My mom would tell me, let's quit slouching, Andy. You're going to stay that way.
Do you think other
She people, might be right.
Do you think other people think of that?
Yes.
Of slouching? When they look at you, they'll be
yes,
like,
they're going, what is he slouching?
Yeah.
Wow.
They might.
I actually think of that too.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't like to slouch.
It's also a, you know, when you watch people on mm-hmm. television, their body language is a huge part of their communication.
Sure.
And if somebody is, you know, doing something odd, that's distracting, number one, and then it reduces their credibility.
Yes, absolutely.
If they don't look credible. And one of those things is having a strong stance. And
you and I apparently came from the same school.
Yes. So that's why when you're interrogating people or or talking with somebody on a pedestrian stop is that you want to have a position of authority.
Yes.
So there you go. There's that. Okay. That's it, folks. Talk to you later. All right. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. This is what we read are currently in for the next, we've only been in for a couple of months, so we got a ways to go. He's a Pentecostal
Christian.
And so we come across some Pentecostal references every so often.
Yeah. I think it's neat to learn about it.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. And it causes me a lot more questions though. So
yes, which leads to more answers.
So I hope you don't mind.
Right.
One thing I want to make sure and remind you of is that we are on the Edify Christian Podcast Network, and yes, we are honored to be there. And if you ever need to know how to get there, watch this video.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app. EDIFI.app.
Faith-inspiring app. No, faith-inspiring broadcasts. Wait, what are we?
I'm speechless.
I spoke it, and there was something that I said in there that I really wanted to make sure and add to our description of our podcast. And then within 10 seconds, I forgot what that was. So
awesome.
All right. From Smith Wigglesworth on October 8th, the title of today's devotional is Christ in Us. Matthew 11:11 is the reference. There has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, that's a contradictory sentence, is it not? Because
yes,
I first thought when it says there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, I thought, well, what about Jesus?
Well, that's why he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. I think it may be a expression of humility.
Yes. I like it either way. I just like to point out certain odd things I read it. I go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute. No, we should look up the meat. Sorry, folks.
Yes.
We're a little... I told him I'm a little distracted today, so I'm not mentally processing as much as I should. But what I think he's referring to is who is least in the kingdom of heaven, meaning their believers are greater, because he's from the Jews.
So glad we took the time to do that.
Yes. And so who is least in the kingdom of heaven are believers.
Much better explanation or understanding now. Thank you.
I think so.
The scripture reading for today is Matthew 11:1-11. There's a lot of ones there. Smith says, God wants to bring to us a living a realization of what the word of God is, what the Lord God means by what he says, and what we may expect if we believe it. I am certain that the Lord wishes to put before us a living fact that will, by our faith, bring into action a principle that is within our own hearts so that Christ can dethrone every power of Satan. Only this truth revealed to our hearts can revealed, oh my gosh, only this truth revealed to our hearts can make us so much greater than we ever had any idea we could be. There is only the need of revelation and of stirring ourselves up to understand the mightiness that God has within us. We may prove that he has accomplished in us if we will only be willing to carry through what he has already accomplished in us. For God has not accomplished something in us that should lie dormant, but he has brought within us a power, a revelation, a life that is so great that I believe God wants to reveal the greatness of it. There isn't anything you can imagine that is greater than what that man may accomplish through him. But everything on a human basis is very limited compared with what God has for us on a spiritual basis. If man can accomplish much in a short time, what may we accomplish if we will believe that the revealed word and take it as truth that God has given us and what he wants us to bring out in revelation and force? Notice that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Within his own short story, John the Baptist had the power of God revealed to him as probably no man in the old dispensation had. He had a wonderful revelation. He had a mighty anointing. See how he moved Israel? See how the power of God rested upon him? See how he had the vision of Jesus and went forth with power and turned the hearts of Israel to him? You too can do great things for God if you are a part of his kingdom.
Aww.
Thought for today. Oh, the possibilities of man in the hands of God. All right. So something came to me.
Great.
And it came from my show last night. And that is this thought, and I've heard it all morning long. I think somebody spoke at a church. It wasn't Glory He Rises, or Behold He Rises. It was a similar conference they were having somewhere in another church as just like the one we had at Calvary Chapel.
Behold He Comes.
Behold He Comes. And that was this thought that Christian conservative parents need to pull their kids out of school, that they need to turn to homeschooling only. Now, you may be on that.
Sorry, and that what was thought. The first thing?
That the because of the, what's happening in schools,
right?
That parents that are particularly conservative Christians.
And you think that's right or wrong?
No, I'm going to come to that.
Oh, okay.
That's the thought. That's the thing. That's okay. The chant now.
Right.
And everybody stood up in this church during this event when she said, "The only power we have right now is the power of pulling all of our children out of these public schools, and it's because it's getting bigger every day." And it came up yesterday on my show.
Yes.
So in this devotional, when I'm reading this, and when it, especially down here at the bottom, when he says, see how he moved Israel, see how the power of God rested upon him, see how he had the vision of Jesus and went forth with power and turned the hearts of Israel to him. You too can do great things for God if you are a part of his kingdom. Now, us running and leaving the public schools is not doing this. I don't believe. I may even have a slight like revelation in this. And I would say I had a speech prepared for the next school board meeting in my head is that, listen, parents, we leave the school system. We leave these public schools to demonic beliefs and behaviors, indoctrination, communism, socialism, and that type of stuff. That's all that's going to be left. The people like Buck, who is in the school board, the people, and like Anderson, I think is the name of the other person, the president, they've been in there for a very long time. Then that's not only are they going to be able to stay in there and continue what it is that they are putting in our schools, all these policies and all these things that are against conservative Christians, that now the three seats that are on there, what's the purpose of them being on? They will leave and then they'll take over. And then only in our schools will we have this indoctrination, this teaching of much of it is demonic. And so by us staying, I read another article where there's the majority of people in the United States don't believe that we should have some of these teachings that are going on, CRT and some of the sex education, that I fear that if we leave, then that's all the schools are going to be. Cause not every conservative, well, not every Christian is going to leave.
Well, it's interesting. I, first of all, totally agree. I don't support leaving. I mean, it's just like saying, why don't we leave California? There's two scenarios to me. One where we are clearly suffering persecution. The Lord says in the last days, those that are in the field, don't even go back to your house to take your belongings, run. Mm-hmm. So either we're in a situation where we're on the run, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Which I think is not now, or we stay and fight. Because yep. how do we sacrifice all the people that are left in the school and all those children? Mm-hmm. It's just like what people did during COVID, where they shut the churches and they're like, look, it's dangerous, stay home. But the church is open during the plague right. and the church is open during the cholera outbreak. Like, we have to believe that our days are numbered by the Lord, not by a virus. Right. And if we're the ones that are going to run, that are going to cut and run, then what happens to everybody else? And how do they experience the light of Jesus? And how do we affect the world? I prefer to see things, like you said, bring your Bible to school day and mm-hmm. us being able to fight back by having more of our kids in school.
Right.
I'd say take your kids out of Olu and flood the public school.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that we overpower them and then instead of them overpowering us.
Because there really is less of them.
There's less of them.
Absolutely.
They're just louder.
Right.
Always that way. We
that's why I'm being so obnoxious.
And we had that problem. We had that problem with when I was in Islam. When we were trying to defeat Islamic radicalism, the problem is they were so loud and so boisterous yep. that the media attacks that they would implement and the political pressure they would put, everyone would throw their hands up and be like, oh, this isn't worth it. Just leave it. Because they were so belligerent that nobody wanted to deal with it.
Right.
It was uncouth.
Right. Melanie reminded me who it is. She said that I watched it too. It's the one in Virginia with Pastor Gary Hendricks. I believe she said we need to make a mass exodus, get out of the public schools.
And that's kind of like the blue flu idea. So yes. I understand having a day where we keep all of our kids home
yep.
or something, but I don't know if I believe in the mass exodus from public schools.
Danielle brings up my next point. As you were talking, I was thinking
ladies, by the way.
Yes. Hello. And to think we had nothing to say before we started. And that is that.
This has nothing to do with the devotional.
No. Yeah, it does. It has everything to do with the devotional.
Okay.
It's how one man changed Israel. How we staying in this place and not running.
Oh, okay.
And bringing faith to the public schools, staying there, which they don't want.
Yes.
And
they want to make us
leave. And your point with, the church is closing, is that we could have done like Mark Driscoll did. Like Mark Driscoll, see, this is his thing was slightly different, but he was in a place in Washington, which surely is not godly, and went to Arizona where he had a bigger audience. So
that was by force.
I know, that's how I said it wasn't necessarily the same thing. But see, he left one place and went somewhere which was a little bit more friendly too.
Right.
He didn't go to Oregon. He didn't go to Portland. Right. He didn't go to Canada. He didn't go to Baltimore. He went to Arizona to a place where he could, pastor the way he wants to pastor and not have probably as much pushback
right.
as he would have in Washington. Same thing here in California. What's everybody doing? And I think Danielle brought it up again that everybody's leaving California. And we said that, no, we need to stay and fight. We need to stay and fight. The state is no different than the schools.
And now I see the analogy to John the Baptist, because he was like,
yes.
You thieves and robbers, repent and turn.
Right. Danielle says, I'll let you take this one.
Even if we pull our kids out, our taxes still fund the schools, so there's no repercussions.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you can read that.
That's
one.
Good, Andy. The relevance with this. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
We missed Danielle's above.
Oh, here we go.
It's exactly like all the conservatives leaving California.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just don't want to leave it into their head. This is our state. I think it was Danielle said, we pay, a great deal of money into the school system. And they're not going to do what we want. And that is to have the money follow the child. That's not going to happen, especially not in California.
No.
And so we are not that far off. I know that it seems really bad. It seems like we've almost lost this battle. I don't think we have. We're just hurting right now. We've lost a couple battles, but we need to come back.
Well, two things to that effect.
Yes.
God's people are usually the underdogs.
Mm.
But then you got to remember the Holocaust. So, and the end times, the Lord says it gets really bad.
It's funny, just the fact that she's like, oh.
Yeah, like, you know, we don't usually win. And especially with end time prophecy, we don't win. So that's the only way the Lord comes back. The one world order comes. There's a global to die is to live is to die is gain to live is gain and to die is Christ. No, to die is gain and to live is Christ.
Yes.
So, we used to say that all the time.
I know.
So which one goes?
Danielle, write it down so we don't have to work so hard.
I'm so off today, folks. I apologize.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yes.
I just skipped the first part. I went straight to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I believe that our job is to not allow them to take over the schools in this manner. Because we have to protect the children. So let's say that the parents agree, right? The parents agree that their boy can now be a girl and they'll take and let them have the operation at 10. Whatever that may be, right? Let's say that. Mm-hmm. But our job is to protect that child. That child is a child of God. And us leaving, there's going to be more of them because they don't have people like, they don't have people on the conservative Christian side that are still in the school as children speaking into them and saying, you know what, that's really not right. God does not want you to do that. God loves you. And there's no one there to push back. All they have is social media, which, of course, you found a video today that is probably the thing that thrown you off. That's what I'm thinking. So demonic that it really probably just threw you off kilter a little bit. If you want to share with that a little bit later, we will. But you know what I'm saying? That if we leave, if we take our children out that do have a calling to make change in this world, then they're lost. The parents may be already lost, but we hope to save them too. But man, we can't abandon those children. Especially elementary and junior high, right? They're still so impressionable, and we still have a chance to bring them back to God.
I agree.
As they were born, right? They were born with the Holy, with the possibility of being used by God.
We're all born sinners, but still the possibility of being used by God.
I was trying to find the right words.
They're not given over to delusions.
No,
just yet. The Lord has not given them over.
But they were fresh, right? Yes. They're fresh, and they could go either way.
Yes. Right?
And we still have time to save them if we went. Why don't we go ahead and read the scripture and then we may come back to this. We may not. Oops, I'm sorry. I took it out of the passage. There we go. So we're reading Matthew 11, 1 through 11.
Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in fine garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" We already read with 11. So there's not a lot of passages where the Lord repeats himself three times. Of course, the one that strikes me the most is the one where he says, "Peter, do you love me?" So I'm curious. I've never researched why did he say this to them so many times, which is interesting. What did you expect to see? But interesting question. I wonder if anybody... okay, here we go. See, I know these ladies are prolific, so here we go. Philippian, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yes, thank you, Danielle.
And here you go. Oops.
Yeah.
Melanie.
Yes. No, I'm just wondering if that's because we're right now we shifted topics on John the Baptist. But anyways, back to the other topic. Melanie commented, the exposure is astounding right now, and that's God who is allowing it. Yes, absolutely. As a believer, we need to be taking a stand and not conforming. My personal opinion is we have to stay focused on Jesus always and forever. Push back on their agenda as much as we can, but know we lose the battle, yet win the war. He's coming back soon. Yes, amen. Awesome. And that's always the balance for me, Melanie, I tell you, because we have to stay and fight. We don't conform, and yet we lose. So I think that's always a balance in our minds and in our hearts, that our eyes are on Jesus. We're waiting for him to return. And meanwhile, we do what we can. But it's hard to stay in the fight when you know you lose the battle. But nonetheless, that's our quandary. Back to John the Baptist.
Yeah, I'm reading. Just trying to find an answer to the question.
But what did you come to see?
Yeah. What did you come to see? So what I was reading again, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.
And I think it was often said that John the Baptist was a great prophet. And some say that he was Elijah. But why did the Lord keep asking the multitudes, what did you go out to see? And I think it's also because he was ridiculed a lot too. So people were kind of looky-loos. They were looking not because they were interested in faith, but because they were just kind of...
wanted to see a train wreck?
Yeah. Wondering always, what is this loopy guy doing in the river, dunking people, screaming?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So I think it's also play on that concept.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anybody have any inspirations? We're at Matthew 11, verses 7, 8, and 9.
So just to visit the YouTube you watched.
Yes.
Which again is another thing that we have working against us is social media. Social media takes down. I put up, and I've shared on my Facebook post or on my Facebook, a post of a very positive poem saying, and I can't think of what it is right now. And then they put a potentially dangerous content cover over the top of it. And so something good is looked at as potentially dangerous by social media, but yet they allow the person that you found to have videos. You want to talk about that person?
I'm just trying to look up her name. Lana Rose. Okay. So I am watching this video. So it's about parents who deal with kids that are having gender identity issues as a result of all this crazy stuff that's going on in the schools and on social media. So these two women that are advocates for kids and conservative values and fighting against all this gender identity scandal are saying,
sorry,
that's good. Are saying that they basically were explaining how this social media influencer of teenagers, largely, she's got 20 million followers, something like that on Instagram, are largely between the ages of 11 and 13 or 11 and 14. And they see her dressed in cutie kids' clothes. Like it's not obnoxious or anything. No, not at all. She's in crop tops, similar to the way Ray dresses, jeans, like very, very normal, cute tennis shoes, straight hair, no makeup. And they see her projected this way, and she's very pretty, and she plays with all the cute boys, very innocuous. It would look like your teenager next door. But apparently this young woman is the world's number one porn star on Pornhub. Like, I can't even tell you how upsetting this was for me because, first of all, I know my daughter knew her. I knew my daughter followed her 3 years ago on Instagram. She no longer has any social media on her telephone, but back then she did. And what these advocates were explaining is that, first of all, she's a very damaged young woman. And if you watch these interviews of her, you could see that, but that it's a sort of grooming for young kids because they go and look her up and find all that content. And it's very violent, abusive porn. It's called ganja porn or something like that, where it's a very violent form of pornography. And it's basically grooming children to look up this pornography, trying to find out more about her. Mm. And so here they idolize this really cute, seemingly cute looking young woman and find out that she's a porn star. And as a result, they're saying they're making this content, this sexualized content, more mainstream for young people. Mm-hmm. And then they end up turning to violence in sexual acts, or they get violated. And then, so here's the thread, folks. And then they end up with gender dysphoria, where they're confused about their gender because they have suffered some kind of trauma, some kind of abuse, and then think, well, maybe I'm not really a girl, maybe I'm a boy. And basically all those other emotional disturbances that occur as a result of trauma.
Wow. And you know that the porn industry is probably supporting her in many ways because they know what's happening.
Right.
They're gaining traffic on their websites through her seemingly innocuous posts.
Yes. And this woman that were commenting is like, wait a minute, is this video is like some kind of a confessional because it's Lana Rose talking in the video. And they're like, what is this video? Is she alerting us so that people will follow her? Because she's talking about this really horrible porn she used to do and how violating it was, but yet she's still a porn star. Hmm. Very strange. Very strange. And that's why these advocates were so upset, because they're like, she's still grooming kids. She's still talking about the same issues.
Right.
And bringing them towards pornography. She's like, just don't do the really bad pornography.
Right. So I want to show you the post that I was talking about too, because they allow that. But here is the post that's on my Facebook. Do you see that it has the cover on it? Let's see. I don't think I can make it bigger. There we go. Oops. See, it says sensitive. Let's see what it looks like to you guys. Yeah. So it says sensitive content. This photo may show violent or graphic content. So then when we want to see the video, it says stand up for what you believe in, even if it means standing alone. And then it has like a little flower there. And it's that there.
I don't understand.
What is the thing? Sensitive content. Is it because they don't want you standing alone? Is that the sensitive content?
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes it's very bizarre.
I think they just want to harass you.
I know, but everybody who shares it gets the same thing. I got it as in this condition from somebody else. So it wasn't my. It didn't happen to me.
Interesting.
It happened to the other person. Sean Hansen, Sean Hannon is, but he's the manager bartender at Rail Line and chairman of Onondaga County Libertarian Party. So that's.
And what is this? Where are we going with that one? Sorry.
Is it that sensitive?
Uh-huh.
That people like the person,
Lana Rose.
Lana Rose are able to broadcast and get our children to go to their pornography websites. And that's not all. I mean, you see what's on all these social media. That stuff is not horrible. Considered sensitive.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Is oh,
they're taking a very positive, which was a seemingly something that's, hey, you
don't
know,
stand alone. Flower, daisy.
Yeah, the daisy standing alone. You know,
isn't that what the Project Veritas thing discovered recently, was that they are purposely censoring certain content, but letting, like, they know how bad the content is that they're letting through on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was the study done in regard to Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
There was a whistleblower, a quote whistleblower from Facebook that's not really a whistleblower. It's a scam from Facebook. Yes.
So they just made up the whole, it was theater.
It was theater to make it look like, and then, you know, Zuckerberg came back with some response that was completely, they were playing off of each other. Oh. She's an executive for Facebook. and a whistleblower. You have to, there's much more into it now, but
again, I don't listen to the news. And so I told Andy, if the world's coming to an end, just let me know.
Everybody was so, a whistleblower is coming out to show how bad Facebook, it's planned dialogue that was going to get them to be able to even censor more conservative positions.
Okay.
Because of the way that she testified. And I think it was Congress. I don't know if it's the Senate or Congress, but it's come out that it's a scam, just like everything else the Democrats do. It is crazy. Melanie had a response to the earlier question, and we apologize. Those of you listening on the podcast, the comments that we get are often delayed by several seconds. So we could vary, especially us, we can change topics very quickly. So the answer to a question we had in the previous topic comes through a little bit later. But Melanie says,
yes, I think that's it. And so we were asking the question of why did Jesus keep asking the multitudes, what did they come out to see? And so Melanie responds, I think that's it. He's asking to search their own hearts. What are you looking for? He's always wanting us to search our hearts. Is our desire to know about him and his plan or his purpose, or what the world is trying to convey? John's crazy.
Yes. Let's see. What in the world?
She's responding to the
porn stuff. And then Melanie says,
we have to remember that our world is backwards right now. Lawlessness is growing. Yes. Nothing will make sense to those who used to desire righteousness. It will feel terrible and sometimes so strange because we are filled with the Spirit. Yet for them, it doesn't seem that way. This is the reality. Their reality is immorality.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. Morality is dangerous content. Immorality, let it flow.
Yeah.
Let it fly, especially with our kids. This is not a happy devotional.
Life's not always happy. We have joy of the Lord, but it doesn't mean we're happy.
What are some action steps you get out of the devotional today? What do you think? What is Smith trying to tell us today that we need to go through the day pondering or putting into action?
I don't know.
Hmm.
And I mean, nothing jumps out at me. Did you have one?
I think that the title, Christ in Us, is a repetitive, kind of like in the devotional. It's a repetition of remembering, because often as in our flesh, we forget that once we are saved, once we are born again, the Holy Spirit is in us. And that we... like yesterday, we have to continue to work towards allowing God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus in us to shine through what it is we do.
Oh, absolutely.
And use it as a shield against some of the things that are coming at us, and understand that the devil will be repelled by us. And for us to stay and to be in a position to maybe shield other people from demonic power is something that we may need to remember, that we have the power. God has given us such power.
And I also, that's great. So true. And I also feel like when I was reading this earlier, I suddenly forgot, and now I remember again, that the way he described this as this ideal that he's put within us that we have to actualize, that we have to realize, mm-hmm. is this thought of who is the perfect me that Christ intends. Like, what does that person look like in 10 years?
Yeah.
And it just makes me wonder, like, how different will I behave? What role will I be playing? What will that look like?
Yes.
So that's what's on my mind.
I think it actually brings me to some of my daydreaming over the last couple of days. And earlier you asked me, is everything okay? I was in deep thought with what you had approached me with. And what I'd already been thinking about, and this is this thought, and I'm throwing it out there only because now I'm exposing it, and maybe you're going to say, somebody will say, hey, did you ever do that thing that you said you were going to do? And I just, one of the things that I had when you said, what are we doing in 10 years? I was thinking, what am I doing in 10 days? And one of those things is I could see the power, because we can't put a booth with an easy up with tables and literature right at the school. they would, you know,
are you going to stand up there like Glenn?
No, I was thinking, where? Yes. Yes.
And our kids would never speak to us again.
I know. So that all came into my mind. So I was thinking, you know, where parents always have to go. Well, they use their app now, but they often go, not always now, but they always go. It's the grocery store. They have to go to the grocery store.
Yes.
The parents in the school district go to the Ralphs down the street, go to the Stater Brothers down the street. And if we could, Sister Cicely is very close to the Stater Brothers.
Yes.
If we could, you know, weasel in somewhere between them and have a little bit of a booth and hand out literature to the parents to show up at the school board meetings, that these are the things that are going on and making it more, you know, the parents that don't go to school board meetings, the people that aren't on maybe social media and seeing the shows, that need to understand what's happening in our schools.
Fascinating.
That might be something that we could visualize us doing in the next 10 days. I know other parents would probably go, you know what? Let's do that. Let's blanket your Belinda.
I think you've got some of your gung-ho parents that would help you out with
yes.
that. You have, there's yes. a little posse of school board meeting members.
Yes. Because I think that's what this devotional is saying. I think, I don't know why it's speaking to
well,
me that
it's,
way.
It's speaking to you that way, yes, because that's what you're called to. And I think that's what the point of the devotional is that he's calling our purpose out in us,
mm-hmm.
which is beautiful. It's just like John the Baptist had that purpose and he knew it. He knew what the yes. purpose was.
And it's much like that. I'm sorry, but I love you.
No I guess, problem.
I'm trying to pass on the.
No, it's what has Jack been saying to us for weeks, which is know your purpose.
Yes.
What's your gift? What's your gift?
And that's the Facebook thing they covered up. Is that even if you're standing alone, that John the Baptist was standing alone.
Oh, yeah. Glenn stands alone.
He was
all
a loner.
The time.
It's the same thing.
The town crier is, oh, it's not the town criers. It's the town crier.
Right.
So you usually stand alone. The prophets stand alone.
Yes. We can do that.
We? It's not a we in there. It's a you.
We are one.
Oh,
we are.
Here he pulls out the one.
We are
folks.
A three braided.
Yes. So I will pack you a lunch. I will make you the stand. Oh my goodness. Oh,
that's it. All right.
Oh, let's read what Danielle says. I think Jesus is reminding us that people will be offended by our beliefs. Oh,
sorry.
I think Jesus is reminding us that people will be offended by our beliefs as Christians, but that is our blessing. Blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. That's beautiful.
Yes, for sure. And then Melanie? Well, sorry.
I think everything you're talking about ties into this devotion, the world versus us, spirit-filled believers. John was so opposite from what they were used to, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus wants them to see that. He needs us to be the same. We're the only truth they may ever see, and we have to be loud. We can't run or hide, but we will be harassed and beaten down. Yes, that's what they did to John. However, we know the end result will be glory revealed. And the crowns...
Yes.
The crowns of victory
yes.
of everlasting life.
I can see my crown. So my clowns.
I can see your clowns too. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Jesus goes, everybody else gets crowns. Andy, he gets clowns.
You know, he said he had a sense of humor.
I'll throw clowns at his feet. No, I've seen my crowns.
We got to go hide our cat. The landlord's coming.
Where'd you get that? All right, my friends. Thank you for joining us on this this interesting devotional that Smith has given us today that has caused a lot of discussion about our world today. And I think we were able to turn it around and think of what are some actions that we can take.
Fantastic. Sorry for my discombobulation. And Melanie just posted a clown icon, which really made me giggle. And thank you, sisters, Melanie and Danielle. I love you guys.
Absolutely. And for one last time, this is how you can get the Edify app, where you can find our podcast and a number of other fantastic Christian podcasters.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
All right, my friends. Have a great...
Oops. Love you.
Get a little quick on the trigger there. Love you guys. God bless.
God bless.